Over the last 2 weeks, we've been bringing you what we've called our Washington Watch. Today, our guests consider numerous final day scenarios and conflicts. The P5+1 Iran debacle, a potential Israeli strike on Iran, and the fact that some current U.S. leaders are on a collision course with God. That's all ahead. Stay tuned.
You know, the whole situation in the Middle East is very confusing anyhow. I mean, just at the State Department the other day, top affiliated Muslim Brotherhood people were at the State Department having meetings. What kind of signal or what kind of sign is that? The other big issue is, who is Obama supporting? Is he supporting the Muslim Brotherhood? Is he supporting Iran? Or is he supporting a policy where no one takes him serious and the Middle East spins into a more difficult, dangerous period of time? Our enemies don't fear him, and our allies don't trust him.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Jan and Eric Barger are talking today with White House News correspondent Bill Koenig. Bill is a frequent guest on this program. Jan and Eric will be quizzing him this hour about Washington, Jews leaving Europe, California's water shortage, and other critical issues. Bill Koenig moved to the District of Columbia in 2001 and became a White House News correspondent. His tenure at the White House has provided extraordinary behind-the-scenes experience and insight. He's learned much from the White House visits of world leaders, daily routines and events in the nation's capital. Bill always brings us inside the Beltway information that helps us discern our times. Now with today's discussion, here's Jan Markell and Eric Barger.
And welcome to the program. Today I am doing part 3 of our Washington Watch, highlighting some issues emanating out of our nation's capital. I'm talking for the entire hour with White House correspondent Bill Koenig. He has served in the press corps since 2001. He has been at 6 of my Understanding the Times conferences. He's author of Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel. And you can find daily information and inspiration on his news site, watch.org. I'll say much more about that later. I have in studio with me as a co-host for this hour, Eric Barger. Eric, you know, we were talking about some issues we should talk to Bill about, and we realized we need 3-4 hour program, so we do the best we can.
You know, every time we have Bill on, we make a statement, this is a very important program, but I think it's true. Every time we have him on, it's important stuff, and I hope folks will listen up during this hour.
Bill, welcome back to the program.
Jan, great to be with you and Eric.
Bill, as I said in the intro here, you've been in that White House press corps since about 01. You have been a firsthand witness of a lot of changes across the nation, across the world. What stands out to you most? Let's start with, since you've been there approximately 14 years, changes in America.
Well, Jan, I think the thing that's been most perplexing to me and many other Christians is this heavy endorsement of the LGBT agenda, where they, along with the help of the media, have forced this agenda on Christians and the country. We had 33 or so states that said no to same-sex marriage, and now we have 36 states that say yes to same-sex marriage in the District of Columbia because of activists from the White House to the Attorney General to Attorney Generals around the country and activist judges. That's the most amazing thing to me. I mean, can you imagine being away from this planet or away from this world for 6 years and coming back and seeing what is coming out of the White House, the State Department, and throughout the country? I mean, this is a war. And so that's the number one thing, Jan. The second thing would be the ineptness of Obama and John Kerry in their efforts in Israel and the Middle East. As former Vice President Dick Cheney said, our enemies don't fear us, and our allies don't trust us. So that is another area of great concern. And number three is this relationship with Russia. And possibly number four, our relationship with China are all having a huge impact.
Well, I may want to revisit a couple of those, but I want to move on and ask you another question here, because a lot of news outlets are leading with headlines, or at least they have a story that's talking about the press is kind of losing its luster over Barack Obama and you mingle with them on a regular basis. Do you find that to be true as you interact with them?
Yeah, yes, in some cases, yes. You know, we've talked about this a bit before, Jan. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it seems like they're starting to turn on Obama and his administration, and some of these stories like Benghazi, the IRS scandal, the NSA scandal, you know, immigration, seems like there's a flow towards more people in the liberal media that want to get into these stories. I mean, a lot of these stories have the potential of winning them a Pulitzer Prize, and I think sometimes mm-hmm. that's their attraction. But at the same time, then after the White House very effectively managed these stories by bringing in other stories of significance that kind of makes these kind of be moved to the side, everything kind of goes back into order the way they care to have it. But I do see possibilities. Jake Tapper's with CNN right now, Jonathan Carl with ABC News, Ed Henry with Fox, Major Garrett with CBS. These guys are, Tapper has his own program. He's not at the White House anymore, but those other three are getting tougher with their questioning, which I think is very important. It's not a quick move in that direction, but I think we're going to see more and more difficult questions. And the other thing, some of these issues are so significant and so serious, you can't help but ask difficult questions, because that's what these subjects and these areas need, tough questions.
I think we need to add Hillary into that mix as well, because mm-hmm. During her watch, look at what happened. And the point you just brought up, Bill, I think is so important for people to see, that when these stories are coming out, it is a bait and switch the way the White House deals with it, because they want to get the stories that paint them in a negative light or that could cause them trouble. They want those to be put in the background as quickly as possible and even dismiss them as as a non-starter with the conversation. So I think that's an important point for people to be able to watch the news with that perspective in mind.
They are masters at getting the focus off these controversial issues and these scandals onto something else like immigration, Obamacare, and things like that. They have it down so well that they are very effective at managing the news.
I want to focus on an issue, and you kind of alluded to it, though not specifically. And I mean, the Bible foretells of a time when the Middle East would be in total chaos. It's called the end of the end times. But did you ever think, Bill Koenig, that it would come about so quickly? I mean, in just 6 years, it has fallen into literal chaos, and it seems like it is heading pell-mell into a very, very final days scenario. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's a good point, Jan. I think when you look at the whole situation in Israel and the Middle East, you really have to go back to 9/11, 2001. That changed life as we know it in the world. President Bush and Dick Cheney were convinced that an aggressive response to 9/11 in Afghanistan was necessary. Vice President Cheney had a lot of influence on going into Iraq and taking down Saddam Hussein. Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense, was ready to go into Iran and Syria right after that, because both Iran and Syria were cooperating, and Americans were losing their lives inside of Iraq as well. But interestingly, the CIA Director George Tenet and Secretary of State Colin Powell lobbied the White House strongly to keep Rumsfeld from going into those two countries, because we already had 150,000 plus troops in the region. And the excuse that they use is, we're getting cooperation out of Syria on dealing with the enemy, Al-Qaeda. So those wars were complicated. First of all, attempting to nationalize a country like Iraq and Afghanistan is just crazy.
Right, I agree.
These are people that don't understand Islam, or especially radical Islam. So Obama came in, he was against the wars in the first place, the aggressive wars of Bush and Cheney, and he was determined to bring all the troops out of Iraq, which helped birth ISIS. And the same thing, he's been aggressively moving troops out of Afghanistan, although they're going to keep some behind there now. These two wars have basically got out of control. In the Middle East, you got to manage your conflicts, and that's what Israel does so effectively. And unfortunately, this administration, the Obama administration, hasn't managed it effectively, Jan, and what it's done is accelerated us toward these final day conflicts.
I want to spend a little extra time here on this Iran deal. Of course, it's not finalized yet. Apparently, that's going to happen in June. I think this Iran deal gives new meaning to the term, the devil is in the details. In this case, I think the devil came up with the details. I think this is a dream come true for Iran, and it's a nightmare for the rest of the world. And I'd like to ask you if you think that there are some prophetic implications of what is happening there. For instance, we read in Ezekiel 38 and 39 of a final day scenario when a revived Persian Empire, Iran, Iran will be a part of a coalition that will invade Israel. And we don't know that what's shaping up in this deal is going to be a part of that. I have a feeling it will. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, what's interesting about that, and we've talked about this before in your program, and I know you have with Bill Salas, I really think that his Jeremiah 49, 35 through 39 is of extreme interest. I remember when Bill first decided to write a book about that, myself and a few other people were talking about that fact that prophecy had not been fulfilled. And I went to John Wolver's prophecy handbook. I mean, he was the top prophecy scholar in the world out of Dallas Seminary. And in his book specifically said this is a prophecy that is not thought of very often, but it has not been fulfilled. And the fact that Elam in Jeremiah 49, 35 through 39 is Iran. And it looks like someone is going to devastate Iran. And the God of Israel is going to be honored in that country. I'm paraphrasing, but Bill's done a good job of explaining this. And I really think that the only country that's willing to do something like that is Israel. And Israel has to consider that because Iran is putting very serious weapons in Lebanon and Syria right now that put Israel's existence at risk. It points towards your Syria, Damascus, Isaiah 17, 1, Jan. And then eventually, Iran will be part of the Ezekiel 38 and 39 group that you've spoken of. But as Bill writes about, I think he's probably right about this, is Iran will be part of that coalition, but they won't be as strong as they would have been if they hadn't been devastated through the Jeremiah 49 conflict. So Iran's a major, major player going forward.
I'd like to play a real brief soundbite. This is Benjamin Netanyahu speaking into this Iranian deal, which, again, in the minds of most thinking people is a complete debacle. Let me just quickly ask you, Bill, before I play this soundbite, is it possible that Congress can block this Iranian agreement?
They are going to look at it with a fine-tooth comb. They are going to look at every component in part. They're also going to watch Iran's behavior, Jan, which I think will even motivate them more to do something. Can they block it? I don't know all the legal possibilities right now, but I tell you one thing, the White House is taking this threat, I guess we can call it that, from Congress, that they are going to put legislation, and they believe they have the votes right now to override any veto that Obama puts out. So this is going to continue to play out over the next few weeks.
Jan, I do think what Bill Salas has come up with, and when you look at southwestern Iran, where the nuclear reactor is, that's where Elam is in the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And it says that they will flee in all directions. And that really does indicate that something happens there devastating that causes that land to be unlivable, at least for a season. So it's fascinating when we're watching this. We're watching the birth pangs happen. All this stuff is speeding up, happening so closely together, we can't keep track of it all. So folks, listen, if you feel overwhelmed, you're not alone, but this is not the time to back up and to try to hide from these things. This is a time for us who understand the scriptures to hang in there and keep watching the Bible as we watch the news and understand what's going on around us.
Thank you, Eric. Let me play the soundbite of Benjamin Netanyahu commenting on the Iranian agreement now, which is several weeks ago, but nonetheless extremely relevant.
The deal would not shut down a single nuclear facility in Iran, would not destroy a single centrifuge in Iran, and will not stop R&D on Iran's advanced centrifuges. On the contrary, the deal would legitimize Iran's illegal nuclear program. It would leave Iran with a vast nuclear infrastructure. A vast nuclear infrastructure remains in place. The deal would lift sanctions almost immediately, and this at the very time that Iran is stepping up its aggression and terror in the region and beyond the region. In a few years, the deal would remove the restrictions on Iran's nuclear program, enabling Iran to have a massive enrichment capacity that it could use to produce many nuclear bombs within a matter of months. Such a deal does not block Iran's path to the bomb. Such a deal paves Iran's path to the bomb. And it might very well spark a nuclear arms race throughout the Middle East, and it would greatly increase the risks of terrible war. The survival of Israel is non-negotiable. Israel will not accept an agreement which allows a country that vows to annihilate us to develop nuclear weapons, period. In addition, Israel demands that any final agreement with Iran will include a clear and unambiguous Iranian commitment of Israel's right to exist. Thank you.
Bill and Eric, here are some bullet points that I made on this Iranian deal. No facilities will be closed. Enrichment continues. Barack Obama says these options are better than war. A year away from material for the bomb, but that is disputed. Barack Obama says that audacity to say the deal is good for our allies, even though Iran would not agree to stating that they won't continue to call for the extermination of Israel. In other words, the agreement allows Iran to call for the extermination of Israel, which she has here for decades. Another bullet point, no comments about Iran's death to America chant. That's okay. Another point, their history is that they play games with inspectors. Another one allows them to continue research and development. Another point, Iranian missile program can continue, and those will continue so they can hit, guess who? The USA. They can continue exporting their extreme fanatical brand of Islam and terror to all of the region. Another point, no call for them to quit this behavior, to stop exporting terrorism, in other words. That was not a part of this deal. And another couple of points, the sanctions would be lifted, but what will they do with that sanction money? They won't use it for schools or hospitals. They'll use it for weapons. And could go on here, Bill and Eric, but it's win-win for Iran, lose-lose for the world.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous, Jan. When they're in Switzerland negotiating the final framework, the supreme leader of Iran, Khamenei, is calling for the destruction of America, destruction of Israel. First of all, I would have never gone to the negotiating table with him in the first place. And secondly, I would have called my representatives home immediately and said, it's over. The discussion is over. I mean, what kind of an ally are we? You know, Obama says he has Israel's back. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah.
You know, this thing does nothing but put Israel in a more vulnerable position. It puts every so-called ally in the Middle East at risk. It puts all those Sunni oil-producing countries that border the Persian Gulf at risk because Iran has advanced their short-range missile capability
exactly
exponentially the last couple years. And right now, Iran is in control of Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, and moving into position of control in Lebanon, and are also working on Sudan and Libya. This is ridiculous. This is so ridiculous, but again, an example of amateurs handling the process. Iran are very smart, strategic chess players that know how to handle these things.
And if I could just quote Wes Pruden here, Washington Times, everything about the so-called deal with Iran, including the reputations of the men who negotiated, is a lie. It's likely to be a deadly lie for millions of people who will die on account of it. The world should mark well everyone responsible for it, starting with Barack Obama and John Kerry.
I was writing the same notes that Bill just enumerated. While John Kerry is negotiating with them, they're yelling death to America, and the Ayatollah is leading the way. If I can add this too, we're concerned about Israel, but Egypt and Saudi Arabia, they're thinking the same thing that Netanyahu is. They don't want Iran to have a bomb, and they know what will happen in that region if they get it.
When I get back, Bill, I would like you to once again outline, and you've done this before, and you might want to update it, that's up to you, what you think an Israeli strike on Iran, how it would play out, because I've heard you say various places that perhaps weapons of warfare will even be initiated that we don't even know anybody else on the planet has. I'd like you to expand upon that a little bit. I also want to ask you about a statement Franklin Graham made recently that what's going on in Washington is actually an Antichrist movement, and nobody better to ask than you, Bill, because you're there 7 days a week. When I come back, we do that, plus much more. Bill Koenig, watch.org, WATCH.org on the web. Eric Barger in studio with me. When I get back, we'll continue our discussion. Don't go away.
There's much more to come on Understanding the Times with White House News correspondent Bill Koenig. So stay with us. This program airs from coast to coast every weekend on nearly 675 stations. Every week we bring you people who are influencing our world for Christ. We cover topics that will help you discern the day in which we live. We're here to encourage you to stand your ground in defending the inconvenient truth. Our mission is to tell the truth about the themes that keep you biblically relevant and culturally wise. Will you consider becoming our financial partner? You can support us online at olivetreeviews.org. You can mail your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can order a copy of today's program on CD by simply calling 763-559-4255. 4444. On today's Understanding the Times, talking to White House News correspondent Bill Koenig.
And the other scenario, a good friend of mine in Israel used to be with the government, says when the United States provides Israel weapons, there's an assumption that those weapons that we've received are not capable of dealing with the Iranian threat. But we must remember that we improve those weapons dramatically when we receive them here in Israel. And we also know the avionics that Israel puts in their jets, the F-15s and F-16s that we have given Israel, are extraordinary. So the bottom line, they have a plan. You start connecting the dots and look at the capability that Israel has. They are very formidable, and they have to be because this has to do with their existence.
We'll return with Bill Koenig in just a moment.
Try to portray themselves as religious leaders.
It turns out that that historic breakthrough between the United States and Cuba.
There's a prediction tonight about where
city war gripped by fear.
What besides skin color?
We always talk about how chaotic our government is.
Today's headlines can be negative and crushing to our hearts. So how does this affect you? This fall, the Understanding the Times conference will address the most pressing issues of our day. The dates are going to be October 2nd and 3rd, and it's a free conference with no registration necessary. Join us at Grace Church in a Minneapolis suburb, and you'll hear Dr. Robert Jeffress, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Michelle Bachman, and Amir Sarfati from Israel. They will help you understand the times through the lens of Scripture. The Understanding the Times fall conference dates are again October 2nd and 3rd. Full details, including hotel accommodations, are on our website at olivetreeviews.org or call us at 763-559-4444. We're looking forward to seeing you October 2nd and 3rd.
God gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants the land of Israel, the covenant land of Israel that goes all the way from the Euphrates to the large river there in Egypt. And it covers parts of Iraq and Jordan and Syria, Lebanon, Israel, and parts of Egypt. And this is God's covenant land. This was a gift from God to the Jewish people, and that no earthly leader has the rights to determine the boundary. And what I documented in my book, Eye to Eye, when we pressure Israel to divide their land or do things that are dangerous to them, it comes back on us, whether it's weather-related disasters, earthquakes, 9/11, perfect storm, Katrina, all of these have a connection to this kind of pressure. When we apply pressure in Israel, the greater the pressure, the greater the corresponding catastrophe.
On today's Understanding the Times, Jan Markell and Eric Barger are talking to White House News correspondent Bill Koenig. Bill has a perspective on the news from a biblical worldview. His insights from covering the White House for 14 years are invaluable. Once again, Jan Markell.
And welcome back. Say, won't you join our discussion that we have on Facebook, about 18,000 people dialoguing, Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries. Follow us on Twitter, Olive Tree Men. More and more of you are becoming CD subscribers, $15 a month. You must call us for that. Please do. And remember, the program always posted to my website every Saturday, olivetreeviews.org, views as in viewpoint. I am doing what I call part three of sort of our Washington Watch, because the last 2 weeks we featured former representative from Minnesota, Michelle Bachman, giving her Washington insights and some highlighting of some issues emanating out of our nation's capital. And I'm doing that again. This is third week now with White House correspondent Bill Koenig, who is a familiar voice to any of you who follow this ministry. Eric Barger is in studio with me for this hour as we sort of quiz Bill on, well, the various things that are sort of exploding literally around the world. And I teased Bill going out of that segment that I'd kind of like you to give a description of what you think a conflict between Israel and Iran would look like. When I had Representative Michelle Bachman here, she felt it would take perhaps 6 weeks and that Israel could not do it on her own. What is your take on this, please? And you've gone over this before with my audience. Maybe you have an update and maybe you have some new insights.
Well, Jan, I think the Israeli government knows that they really can't rely on anybody else, especially over the last 6 years, to deal with the Iranian threat. And they have incredible intelligence on the inside of Iran. They know probably what Iran has more than what Iran knows they have. That was kind of the comment of King Hussein during the Six-Day War that Israel had with Jordan, Egypt, and Syria, the fact they know more about, the Israelis know more about our military facilities around the Middle East than we do. Israel knows they can't afford to lose or even take one nuclear hit. They just can't do that. So they are experts in computer technologies. They have already got inside of their computers previously with a couple of Trojans, with Duquesne and another one, Stuxnet, also got inside the computer system in Iran. They are EMP experts, electromagnetic pulse experts, and they can isolate an area and take it out as far as the utilities in that particular area. They have, as far as I know right now, two submarines in the Persian Gulf, or that's what we understand. They just took the delivery of their sixth nuclear sub. They've got a seventh coming. They have extraordinary cruise missile capability. There's even been discussions since this recent release of what Israel has as far as their nuclear weapon program, that they have hydrogen bomb capability, possibly even better than what the United States has.
Mm-hmm.
And the other scenario, a good friend of mine in Israel used to be with the government, says when the United States provides Israel weapons, there's an assumption that those weapons that we've received are not capable of dealing with the Iranian threat. But we must remember that we improve those weapons dramatically when we receive them here in Israel. And we also know the avionics that Israel puts in their jets, the F-15s and F-16s that we have given Israel, are extraordinary. So the bottom line, Jen, they have a plan. It is comprehensive. I've just touched on some of the significant parts of it. But when you start connecting the dots and look at the capability that Israel has, they are very formidable, and they have to be because this has to do with their existence.
That's absolutely right. Did you ever think, Bill Koenig, that you would cover a story, and I mean on your website, your news outlet, about a U.S. president trying to oust another leader of another country, in this case, trying to oust Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu?
Well, especially Israel. You know, yeah. That U.S.-Israel relationship has been so special for so, so long. I know one of the officials stated here in Washington to some friends of mine that right after Obama took office, they felt this is the first time in history that they didn't have a U.S. president that was completely committed to the relationship the United States has with Israel. And if you look at the activities through the Arab Springs, the promotion of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, the negotiations with Iran, moving all U.S. troops out of Iraq, things they've done in Afghanistan. I mean, all of these things, Jan, are making the Middle East a much more dangerous place and a much more dangerous place for Israel to contend with. So this has been a shock. We do look at the Bible at Zechariah 12.
That's right, we do.
Does speak of eventually right. All nations will turn against Israel, and this may be it.
And Bill Koenig, you are on record saying, and this is going to get flack, and this comment's going to show up on the left-wing blogs, but you are on record as saying that Barack Obama is on a collision course with the God of Israel. Can you expand a little bit on that?
Well, the premise of this, Jan, is something that, as you know, that I've shared with you and your audiences over the year, is that God gave Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and their descendants the land of Israel, the covenant land of Israel that goes all the way from the Euphrates to the large river there in Egypt, and it covers parts of Iraq and Jordan and Syria, Lebanon, Israel, and parts of Egypt. And this is God's covenant land. This was a gift from God to the Jewish people, and that no earthly leader has the rights to determine the boundary. And what I documented in my book, Eye to Eye, when we pressure Israel to divide their land or do things that are dangerous to them, it comes back on us, whether it's weather-related disasters, earthquakes, 9/11, perfect storm, Katrina, all of these have a connection to this kind of pressure. When we apply pressure in Israel, the greater the pressure, the greater the corresponding catastrophe. And to summarize, the God of Israel did not intend for Judea and Samaria, which is called the West Bank today, to be an Arab state. His plan is to have Judea and Samaria and all of Jerusalem to be part of the Jewish homeland, the state of Israel. And this is the collision course that Barack Obama and the EU are on with God over his covenant land. And he will respond, and there will be further consequences.
Bill, I want to pick up, and we may come back and revisit some of the topics here that we've covered already, because I'm not sure I'm 100% through, but I also gave a tease that I wanted to give a quote here by Franklin Graham. And folks, if you've just joined me, talking this hour with White House correspondent Bill Koenig. He's a familiar voice to my audience. He's been at 6 Understanding the Times conferences over the years since 2002. And a frequent radio guest. You can learn more at watch.org. But Franklin Graham said this, and I don't know who better to ask about it other than Franklin himself, but I will ask you nonetheless. And he says, quote, President Barack Obama and his outgoing Attorney General Eric Holder are, along with progressives in government, forcing a new morality on the American people, a morality that doesn't include God and which is an anti-Christ movement. It's the progressives that are trying, and the president is into this, and the Attorney General 100%, and that is forcing on the American people a new morality, and it's a morality that does not include God or his standards. That's what we're facing today. Would you agree with that, Bill Koenig?
Yes. I think Franklin is absolutely correct. And I think the great concern here, and we even saw it recently at a Easter prayer meeting at the White House. And these were people from the liberal Protestant churches that were there that favor same-sex marriage, LGBT, that have made this whole LGBT thing into a special rights situation. And they are attempting a new morality. Our morality goes from Genesis to Revelation, and there are sins and there's consequences for sin, and especially unrepentant people that continue sins that are mentioned in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And attempting to say that that's not immoral, or same-sex marriage is fine, and LGBT is fine, is completely and contrary to the Word of God, and there will be consequences to that as well.
The religious freedom, and I want to play a soundbite. This is the incident that kicked everything off about a month ago now, and of course it's Governor Mike Pence on air with George Stephanopoulos, and this sparked a firestorm like, Bill, I don't think, and Eric, you've been watching it too, and I have a headline or two here I want to share that I never thought I would see. Here's a headline from the New York Times. New York Times writer, Christians must be made to embrace the gay lifestyle. In the wake of the Indiana Donnybrook over religious liberty, which somehow was transformed overnight into a question of gay rights, it couldn't be long before the New York Times weighed in against Christians. Yet who could have expected the draconian measures the Times would propose? Either Christians fully embrace the gay lifestyle, or you will be coerced into doing so. Op-ed writer Frank Bruni, gay activist, has written that Christians who hold on to ossified, biblically-based beliefs regarding sexual morality have no place at America's table and are deserving of no particular regard. I could go on. I don't need to. Let me play this very short soundbite of Stephanopoulos and Pence, which kicked this, not that this thing hasn't been going on forever, but in the last month anyway, into overdrive.
Governor Mike Pence joins us now. Good morning, Governor. Thank you for joining us. So was it a mistake to sign this law?
Absolutely not. The Religious Freedom Restoration Act was signed into federal law by President Bill Clinton more than 20 years ago, and it lays out a framework for ensuring that a very high level of scrutiny is given anytime government action impinges on the religious liberty of any American. After that, some 19 states followed that, adopted that statute, and after last year's Hobby Lobby case, Indiana properly brought the same version that then state Senator Barack Obama voted for in Illinois before our legislature, and I was proud to sign it into law last week. But look, I think I understand that there's been a tremendous amount of misinformation and misunderstanding around this bill, and I'm just determined, and I appreciate the time on your program, I'm just determined to clarify this. Well, this is about protecting the religious liberty of people of faith and families of faith across this country. That's what it's been for more than 20 years. years, and that's what it is now as the law in Indiana, George.
But I think one of the problems that people have pointed out is that in Indiana, your civil rights laws don't include sexual orientation as a protected class, and even some of the supporters of the bill who appeared with you when you signed the bill, Eric Miller of Advance America, wrote that it will protect those who oppose gay marriage. He put up this example. He said, Christian bakers, florists, and photographers should not be punished for refusing to participate in a homosexual marriage. So this is a yes or no question. Is Advance America right when they say a florist in Indiana can now refuse to serve a gay couple without fear of punishment?
Well, let me explain to you. The purpose of this bill is to empower, and has been for more than 20 years, George. This is not speculative. The purpose of this legislation, which is the law in all 50 states in our federal courts, and it's the law by either statute or court decisions in some 30 other states, is very simply to empower individuals when they believe that actions of government impinge on their constitutional First Amendment freedom of religion. And frankly, George, there's a lot of people across this country who you're looking at Obamacare and the Hobby Lobby decision, looking at other cases, who feel that their religious liberty is being infringed upon. And the Religious Freedom Restoration Act at the federal level, and all the states now, including Indiana, who have it, are simply about addressing that. This is not about discrimination. This is about empowering people to confront government overreach, George.
Though, on it, because your supporters say it would. And so yes or no, if a florist in Indiana refuses to serve a gay couple at their wedding, is that legal now in Indiana?
George, this is where this debate has gone with misinformation and frankly,
it's just a question, sir. Yes or no?
Well, there's been shameless rhetoric about my state and about this law and about its intention all over the internet.
Bill Koenig, where do you see this going?
I don't see it going in the right direction, Jan. So here's the triumvirate. Number one, the LGBT activists with the help of the White House and the Attorney General. The second component to that is the liberal media, which is anywhere from 85 to 90% of U.S. media who are doing everything they can to be in lockstep with this agenda. And number three, unfortunately, some of our largest corporations in America, Fortune 500 companies, have also joined this group. So we see the pressure on states to comply, whether it's economic extortion, financial extortion. I mean, it's a form of extortion, I should put it that way. And those three groups have a lot of power and influence in America, and they will wear down the opposition, or attempt to.
You know, it really doesn't matter what the facts are. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yep.
That the facts are being disregarded. It's how it's being portrayed in the sound bites, because in the world we're in today, the sound bites is what counts, sadly. And this particular article that we've talked about that was written by this fellow from the New York Times, and it just shows this is exactly why this kind of law or this kind of protection is needed. And let's never forget this. The people who claim to be or use the word Christian when they describe themselves, many of them are the ones leading the charge on the other side.
Correct.
It is the Bible believers that are in trouble. And that, of course, as we know, the remnant is a smaller portion of those who claim to be Christians today.
I want to make a couple of other quotes here, please, to kind of build and solidify what we're saying. Then we're going to move on to some other topics here. But Frank Turek, he's an award-winning author, co-author of I Don't Have to Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist and some other books. He says this, I found it interesting. Now, if you don't agree to celebrate same-sex marriage, believers in this new religion will commence an inquisition and without trial punish you for heresy. That's why this legislation is necessary. Florists, bakers, photographers, etc., and speakers like myself have all discovered personally that the people who say they are fighting for tolerance are often the most intolerant. And Mark Tooley of Institute for Religion and Democracy says, kudos for the nearly 30,000 who gave almost $1 million, just under $1 million, to the Christian family, owners of Memories Pizza in Indiana, after a virtual lynch mob of ostensible opponents of discrimination forced the business to close when an ambush reporter dared to say they would not cater a same-sex ritual. Future lynch mobs will target more Christian-owned businesses for their refusal to defy secular groupthink. And Tooley concludes, the body of Christ in America, with all persons who favor free speech, will need to rally to their defense if America is to remain the land of the free and the home of the brave. Bill Koenig, you want to wrap up this segment?
Oh, that's excellent. I met Mark a couple of years ago and saw him a few weeks ago at an event here in Washington for Israel. He is spot on, extremely well written. This is a major war. Jan, I'm not optimistic at this point. I think this is just another indicator, a final day indicator.
Yes.
And I don't know how this tsunami could be stopped, but we just have to keep speaking the truth, the biblical truth, and let God take care of the details.
Jan, if we're not careful, political correctness is going to shape the doctrines and practice of the church all the way through the church. That's what's happening here. And this case in Indiana with the pizza parlor, that's a great example of newsmen becoming the newsmakers. They went out looking for that story to get somebody to say something they could use. And we see, we know what happened with that story. I'm blessed about the $1 million that came in too.
Amen.
That should speak loud and clear to the opposition.
When I get back, Bill Koenig, I want to ask you just a little bit. You have written, so you are on record saying that you feel that America is ripe for even more judgment. We've kind of talked about some of the reasons. We can perhaps dig into that just for another minute or two. I want to ask you a little bit about Vladimir Putin and also the headline that says it's time for Jews to leave Europe. That is a stunning headline, particularly in light of what talks about in the Bible. And we will talk about those things when I get back. This is Radio for the Remnant. Don't go away.
There are a few places today where you'll find straight talk on real issues with real solutions. Every weekend, we talk solutions according to the Bible. We are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell.
Don't forget to save the dates. Our Fall Understanding the Times conference is scheduled for October 2nd and 3rd in Eden Prairie, a suburb of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Just a moment, we'll let you know who's speaking at this year's conference, and we'll give you all the information you need to attend. We also want you to be aware of all the great resources you'll find online when you visit olivetreeviews.org. That's where you can listen to previous Understanding the Times programs. It's where you can read important articles, as well as sign up for our free printed newsletter, news headlines, and our e-news blasts. All of these tools are designed to help you understand the days in which we live through a biblical worldview. Our web address again, olivetreeviews.org. If you'd like to write to us or support this ministry, our mailing address is Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can also call 763-559-4444. In a moment, we'll return to our conversation with Bill Koenig.
Recently, Holocaust survivor Anita Dittman received the Heroine of the Faith Award from Bot Radio Network at National Religious Broadcasters. Now, you can read or view her amazing story for a donation of any amount to Olive Tree Ministries. If you live in the U.S., just ask for her book or 75-minute documentary DVD as our gift to you to keep our radio ministry on the air this summer. Anita has powerfully moved audiences for 35 years all across America and on Christian radio and TV. It is a God-exalting story which I had the privilege of writing for Tyndale House some years ago. It is now updated, and the DVD by George Escobar is stunning. Write us with your tax-deductible donation at Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can also give online at olivetreeviews.org or call us at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. This is Jan Markell, and in a day when everything is being redefined, our goal is to bring the truth of the Bible into focus without compromise and without redefinition. Thank you for standing with us by listening every week.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. White House News correspondent Bill Koenig is our guest this hour. Let's go back now to the discussion. Here once again, Jan Markell.
And welcome back. And remember, you can get a CD of any program that you happen to hear that you'd like to pass on to others who aren't familiar with Understanding the Times Radio. I hope you'll look into my print newsletter and my e-alerts or e-newsletter. They're one and the same. Sign up for that online. You can sign up for the print newsletter online as well, or give my office a call and we'll sign you up for that. And I gave kind of a tease going out of that segment because we talk often on this program that we feel that America certainly is under judgment. I don't think that's too debatable. Bill Koenig has actually written that he feels America is ripe for even more judgment. He actually says that the more President Obama's actions affect or jeopardize Israel's security, the stronger the response will be from the God of Israel as evidenced in Scripture. And this will have enormous implications for the United States, Bill Koenig writes. But why don't you comment on your statement, Bill, that America is ripe for even more judgment? And folks, we will end this segment on a more positive note so that you don't think that we're only dwelling here on doom and gloom. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, Jan, obviously the great concern is the moral climate in America, which continues to worsen. From our biblical values and biblical beliefs, the immorality of America is worsening. Number one, we have abortion, maybe as many as 60 million young preborn children have been killed in their mother's womb. We have a president from the day that he took office press the LGBT agenda, which is the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender agenda, and also heartily endorsed same-sex marriage. And the third area is obviously what will Barack Obama and his administration do with Israel, and especially Israel's enemies in the Middle East that put Israel's future at risk. And also there's talk of further peace talks between the Israelis and Palestinians and the United States. The Obama administration has even threatened a veto at the UN Security Council, or threatened a vote that would force Israel to accept a Palestinian state unless they do more in the peace process. So those three are the areas that I watch closely, and we're on the wrong side of each and every one of them as a nation.
Eric, you made a comment during the break.
Yeah, I want to add one more to that, too. And I'm not speaking about the pastors who listen to our program or the faithful ministers who are on the same page with us, but the spinelessness of Christian leaders is stunning today. And those who are not willing to stand up and be counted and go against the tide for fear of what the media might do to them, for fear that some of their congregation might walk out, for fear of being anti-politically correct. I mean, it is stunning. And that, to me, will bring judgment. Go back to the Old Testament and look and see what happens when you have weak leaders and the way they are judged as well as the people around them. And that should speak to us loud and clear, too.
My producer, Larry Kutzler, wanted to weigh in on this, too.
Bill, sometimes we think of judgment as being weather like Katrina and so forth. Could judgment actually come at the hands of even worse political leaders than we now have in Washington? Is that a judgment as well that we could see in the future?
Yeah, I think we see different forms of judgment. I mean, Pastor John MacArthur in California said the day that Obama was elected, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but he said that that was a sign of the fact that we have a president that is favorable toward LGBT and abortion and others was at the beginning of a greater period of judgment. And I think we're living in judgment right now as we see these things that are happening that are very perplexing to us as believers. The other thing is look at the leadership in Washington. My gosh, American people are fed up with Congress. And, you know, I think their approval rating's 15-20%. It's bad. The White House is bad. America deserves more and something better than this. So that's a consequence. And then, you know, we look at economic potential consequences. So it comes in various forms and fashion, Larry, outside of the weather and other so-called things like that. Look at our financial collapses of 2001, 2008, and some people believe, again, at the end of 2015. So we're just living in a very uncharted time, and things are out of order. There's division, and there's a lot of complication in our times. And the big thing is the fact that our country has moved away from our Judeo-Christian values and morals, and that biblically leads to judgment.
Folks, if you want to stay up on these kinds of issues, and of course you can visit the website, watch.org, W-A-T-C-H.org, but you can subscribe to Bill's weekly e-newsletter, Koenig's Eye View from the White House. I personally wouldn't want to be without it. It's a very nominal cost, and you can just look that up at watch.org as well. And Bill, you write in one of your most recent, and the quotes I've been giving, Bill's quotes are heavily out of this newsletter, and you say, right now the state of California has only about 1 year of water supply left in its reservoirs, and our strategic backup supply, groundwater, is rapidly disappearing, and you suggest perhaps that this is even more judgmental judgment?
Well, that was a NASA report a couple weeks ago that said that they had that one-year supply in their reservoirs, and they're, you know, already cutting back substantially. This California Governor Brown has required, I think, anywhere from 25 to 32% reduction in home use of water. So, you know, Jan, we've got a state that over and over again will go against the Word of God, that will continually take positions on marriage, on abortion, and on a lot of things that are just completely opposed to the Scriptures. And fortunately, a lot of times when it starts in California, it spreads to the rest of the country and even spreads to the rest of the world. So there very likely could be a drought component to this judgment.
Bill, I've been troubled by some of the headlines I've seen, and you cover them, and you cover them so well on your website, but one that jumped out literally almost the other day, time for Jews to leave Europe. I think that was posed as a question mark, but I think it's both a question mark and almost a statement of fact at the same time. What are your thoughts?
Well, Prime Minister Netanyahu even suggested that earlier this year after the horrible events there in Paris, France, you know, at the kosher market, as well as the shooting took place. Foreign Minister Lieberman has alluded to that as well. You know, I spent some time at the EU Parliament late November last year, and you can really sense an anti-Semitic spirit. We were in Brussels, Belgium, which is one of the two locations that the EU Parliament meets, and it was, you could really sense this. And I was at an event, and I asked this Christian brother, I said, how many born-again Christians are there throughout Europe? And he said, best I can tell, about 1.5%. And I said, that is amazing. And this is someone that evangelizes throughout Europe. You know, it's a very difficult situation for Jews there. They don't have the Christian support there that they do in the United States. And I think a lot more are thinking about moving to Israel, and even possibly the United States, but especially Israel.
Wow, that 1.5%, that's just slightly higher than the county I live in, Bill, which is the least churched county in the United States.
And then, Bill Koenig, Joe Biden's statement to American Jews that Israel, not America, is the only place that guarantees their security. What is he, suddenly Mr. Christian Zionist or pro-Israel Joe or what? What's behind that?
Biden has a tendency of shooting before aiming, but you can pick things up from some of the things he says, and I think that there's probably some truth to that, especially with this administration that he's part of, that Israel's greatest defense is those people that are in Israel, and that might be a safer place for Jews to eventually consider moving to. A very controversial comment, but at the same time, I think with what we're watching today in the United States, in Europe, and around the world, I think more and more Jews are considering moving back to their homeland of Israel.
It's for sure that they have the best security there. I remember a conversation you and I had as I was contemplating leading a trip to Israel, which I'm going to do in November, and you told me that you feel safer in Jerusalem than you do in your apartment in Virginia, I think is what you said.
Yeah, and I encourage Christians to go to Israel because you will not find a safer place. Mm. It's God's plan to go there. And in our high-rise condominium that we live in Washington, D.C., and the city of Washington, D.C., it's relatively safe, but I can tell you there's a different kind of peace that you will experience when you're in Israel because you've been sent there, and plus Israel's very serious about security. So it's a combination of the two.
You know, Bill, this is just a practical question. We've asked it to you before, at least once or twice. We have new listeners all the time, and they may be asking and would love to ask you. I mean, you are an evangelical conservative press man in the White House press corps, serving amongst a lot of far-left liberals there. First of all, how have you lasted 14 years? And secondly, how do they treat you?
It's the Lord. They have treated me well. I have developed some friendships. I've become a familiar face there over 14 years. There's a lot of turnover at the White House. There's a handful of us that have been there for 14-plus years, developed friendship and relationships. There aren't a lot of Christians in the White House press corps, six or seven, the best I can tell, and six of those seven are from replacement theology churches, which is kind of interesting to say the least. But, you know, Jan, I have to give the Lord credit for allowing me to be there as a watchman for Him. him to develop relationships, and I have some very good relationships with the Middle Eastern correspondents. We all get along great, including a couple of our Orthodox Jewish friends. It is possible to get along, and we've done a good job of that, and I've just been honored and privileged to be there for 14 years.
Well, some of these interviews, they turn up on the left-wing blogs, and I'm just amazed that you've lasted as long as you have, that you certainly speak your mind, you speak the truth, you travel the country and speak at conferences as well. As I said, you've been at least six of mine. God has truly been gracious to you to be able to hang on this long. And folks, I also encourage you to look into Bill's book, Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel. Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel. And then again, I referenced his e-newsletter once a week. Small fee involved in that. Koenig's Eye View from the White House. Bill, we have talked today about a lot of negative things, but if you could sum up some things in a more positive manner, my listening audience would really appreciate it.
Jim, we're blessed because we're a small percentage of the church and definitely a small percentage of the world that fully understands the biblical significance of the time that we're living in. We are studying the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. We are not being surprised or shocked by anything that's taking place. We are living in the final days, and I'm so thankful that God, through the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that lives within us, that He points us to the truth, and we know that God is in control of all things, and that is what people should be encouraged about. We should pray for each other. We certainly appreciate the prayers that we receive, and that's another reason I'm still where I am. And you doing what you're doing, Jan, to the almost 700 stations that you are on every week throughout America, is the God of Israel has a son. His name is Yeshua, Jesus Christ, and He is returning to Jerusalem. And we very likely could be the generation that sees that happen. And what an honor and privilege to be living in a time such as this.
Eric, Bill, thank you so much for joining me today. And I'd like to say to my audience as often as possible, remind them, you know, things aren't falling apart. They are falling in place. And if you look at our world with biblical lenses, everything does make sense, as Bill has alluded to, as Eric has stated so many times. So won't you say with the psalmist then, I trust in you, O Lord. Our times are in your hands. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us for Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Today's edition can be downloaded at our website, olivetreeviews.org, or you can order it as a single audio CD by calling 763-559-4444. When you call, ask about our monthly CD subscription of all the programs we air. If you'd like to support this ministry with a tax-deductible donation in any amount, we're offering Anita Dittman's story, Trapped in Hitler's Hell. Anita's book or her 75-minute video documentary can be yours for any size gift to Olive Tree Ministries. When you phone 763-559-4444 with your gift, tell us if you'd like the book or the DVD. This offer is available to USA residents only. Your financial support is also welcome at our mailing address, Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Jan Markell returns next week with her guest, Dr. Gary Frazier. Thanks for listening.